Okay, this morning we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Again, we're talking about something that's laid out here in a natural that teaches us about something in the spiritual. It's not literally an external thing, but an internal thing. God is an internal God working an internal work. Okay? Excuse me. And David said, verse 1, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said to him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said to him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And King David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said to him, Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Excuse me. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given to thy master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and you shall bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba to the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servants, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Sounds kind of difficult, don't it? But it's not. Okay? And David said, David speaking of the Christ, Is there any that left in the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? What do you think he's really talking about here? He's talking reconciliation. He's talking covenant. That's what he's really showing. When the word kindness in there is really speaking about covenant. Because if you remember earlier in the teaching of Samuel, David made a covenant, not with Saul, but with Jonathan. And in their culture, you make a covenant with one, you made a covenant with all. The whole household was the covenant. And so David here is saying, now that Jonathan and Saul are both dead, and all these other things have happened, that all the household has been destroyed, is there anyone left that I might bring this covenant forth? And as surely as Abraham had no seed, in the latter days he brought forth a seed. And that seed, no matter what the condition, was still the seed, wasn't it, that came forth from Abraham. And now that seed, which looked like it wasn't going to make it, and Abraham being 99 years old, like he couldn't produce this seed, it still came forth. And even though the covenant was made and everybody seemed to be wiped out, they found one man that was left. And he said there was out of the house of Saul being the Edomite, the Adamites, to a servant whose name was Ziba. And what do you think that name means? Ziba. It can mean statue. It can also mean strength. Okay? Statue or strength. Now, a servant does need to have a lot of what? Needs a lot of strength. And when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And right there he tells you, "I am your servant." Right? And the king said, "Is there not yet any man, any of the house of Saul?" The word "any" is the word "ish." Is there a man of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, "Jonathan," which is Yahweh has given, "has yet a son which is lame on his feet." Why do you think it's so important to put in there that this son that was still left was lame on his feet? Why did they not just say, "Yeah, there's one more son"? Why is it important to talk about this? Huh? He wasn't able to walk out. He didn't really know who he was. He might have known who his generations was, but he didn't know who his real father is. Okay? And there's a whole lot, and it represents humanity. It represents the whole of humanity. And the whole of humanity is lame right now. They cannot walk, not because their feet are crippled up, but because their mind is crippled up. They're only living in the way that they know they can. And that is out of the natural state. So this represents the whole of humanity, and the whole of humanity is born dead in their sins and trespasses. They don't understand. Their mind has not been renewed in Christ yet. You see what I'm saying? So this represents the whole of humanity not being able to walk the lifestyle of Christ yet. Okay? But does that mean that there's not mercy and grace to them? See? Mercy and grace, the covenant is unto all. See? Just like in the Old Testament, when the Jews, the priests of the Jews, were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they'd come into the River Jordan and they stepped into that water, what happened? The water abated, it says, and that means it backed up like somebody built an invisible dam and the water couldn't go anymore. And the water below it just drained out, and the water from there back just started backing up like a big dam, filling the creek up. All the way back, it said 2,000 cubits to a town called Adam. It backed all the way back up and got Adam. And that's just a reconciliation message. He didn't lose anybody, did he? And see, the same thing is happening here. Christ wants to say, "Is there one left? I want to get every last one." Just like the 90 and 9. I'm not satisfied with 90 and 9. I want 100. I want them all. Okay? And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Macher." Do you know what that word says? Macher. It means sold into slavery. Amiel means the people of God. And Lodabar... I'll slow down, I'm sorry. Let me slow down, let you get that down. Macher means sold into slavery. The son of Amiel. Amiel means people of God. Kinsmen are people. Well, yeah, kinsmen is your people. Okay. And in Lodabar. Lodabar means pastureless. Not pastor, like a pastor preacher, but pasture, like a place for the cattle to feed. Okay? Now, let's look at what that says spiritually. Okay? It says this, that he was in Macher, he was sold into slavery. Correct? He was sold into bondage. I want to read you a verse out of Romans chapter 8. Okay? See if you can see any parallel here. Romans 8, verse 20. Excuse me. "Because the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. They were subjected to vanity, not willingly. God subjected all in hope in Romans 11. Let me see if I did in Romans 11. 32 in my mind. Yep. Because God has concluded them all in unbelief that he have mercy upon all. Okay. And the same thing's happening here. It represented all of humanity. We were all in slavery, into slavery to sin, to the carnal mind. And we were, as it says in Amiel, Amiel was people of God. We're all children of the Most High God, right? Psalm 82, 6. And in Lodabar means pastureless. That means no place of feeding. Because if we don't know who God is, if we don't know who our shepherd is, how do we know where we're going to feed? We're going to go to all these. We'll eat anything somebody throws on a table and calls it food. See? That's kind of like a billy goat. They eat anything, don't they? But a sheep is very particular in what they eat and what they drink. Yeah, we like the good stuff. And you know what? I like the good stuff myself. So should everybody else. But so many people are so easy to just eat anything thrown out like a goat does. And God did refer to us in places as sheep and goats. Sheep being the ones that are obedient, and the goats being the ones that are stiff-necked and hard-headed. And they always say, but, to everything you say. That's a goat mentality. And when you say but, you just wipe out everything you just said. They'll say, I agree with you, but. When you say but, you just said, now I don't agree with you. So what was the purpose? They're just trying to stroke you. Okay? Now, we found out that we're all sold into slavery, right? We're people of God, and we don't have any place to eat until we find out that the king has provided a place for us. Right? And then the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. So he took the one sold into slavery, which was the people of God, and took them out of a place that was no place to eat, and brought them back to his place. Verse 6, it goes on and says, Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. He was worshiping the Christ. When God takes you from a place of being pastorless and in slavery, and brings you to a place of freedom and feeding you generously, the natural thing to do is to worship Him. Isn't it not? Give honor and glory to the God, to the Father. Okay, but what does Mephibosheth mean? It says the dispeller of shame, or the exterminating the idols. See, you want the idols killed in your life? Begin to feast from the table of God. When He gives you this truth, when He sets you free from the bondage of slavery of the carnal mind and begins to tell you, you're my son now, and lets you know you can eat from my table from now on. You'll never hunger or thirst again. Didn't He say that? You'll never hunger or thirst again. Now, when He provides that for you, there's nothing else to do but worship Him, is there? So let's go and see what it is. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered and said, Behold your servant. See? Behold, lo, here I am, send me. Like Isaiah said. That's all you can do. And David said to him, Fear not. See? We read the King James language, and there's places where it says, Fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Fear God is the beginning of wisdom. This word fear is not the same word fear. In the context here, it says fear not. Don't be afraid. But yet when it says fear is the beginning of wisdom, okay, or fear God, it's a wrong way. It means reverential respect. See, not scared, afraid. And you got to separate these words from the English language and find out what it really means. And the context will always tell you that. Okay, he said, Fear not, don't be afraid, because I will surely show you the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore you all the land of your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Now, there's one thing that I still haven't driven home in this passage of Scripture yet, and I kind of went over it quickly, was the covenant. And see, there was a covenant made before we came about. The covenant was made long before we walked upon this earth, true or false. Now, the covenant was made. The covenant will never be disannulled. God's not a covenant breaker. People are. See, God never changes His mind. God didn't say do this and then do that. God never changes His mind. So, when He says here, you'll eat from my table continually, He's talking about humanity as always going to have a place to eat in God. He's always going to provide for them. Is that true or false? Oh, in Proverbs 10, verse 3 or 4, it says, He will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. So He's not going to let you die or be killed by somebody else. Or nothing. You're going to accomplish the purpose you're sent forth to do. Let me look at something here. In the book of Job. Okay. I wasn't sure where I wrote this down. But anyway, I finished with verse 7. He said, no, I didn't either. He said, I will surely show you kindness, that's for the covenant with Jonathan and for your father's sake, and I'll restore all the land of Saul thy father, and you shall eat bread at my table. Continue. He says he will restore everything from Saul. And Saul is an Edomite, which points to the word Adam, Adamite. So he said, I will restore everything that Saul, that Adam had. Well, you know Adam had some terrific things. He had everything that God had at his disposal. He could walk with God. He could talk with God openly. What's that telling you right there? I'm going to restore everything that Adam had back to you. Think of the relationship that was between those two. See what I mean? And just because in their understanding they didn't believe that, doesn't mean someone doesn't believe it, doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass, does it? In God's timing, that will come to pass. And then after he said that, Mephibosheth, that's a tough name to say. You know this guy here. We just call him Mephib. He bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I? Here's a man realizing that his flesh is nothing. And when I say nothing, it just means it's only be used for a season, it'll drop off, and the dust will return to the earth from where it came. Right? That's all. There's people that struggle with this, and they say, we're worthless, we're nothing. No, this is the house of God. He lives in here. It's something, but it's a temporary dwelling. It's a tent. It's something He's just using through this land. And it's wasting away every day. It's dying. The old man's dying. The outer shell's dying. And that's okay. That's the process. That's the way God set it up. But see, I know this. As the outward man is dying, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Correct? If we're feeding that man, guess what? He's renewed every day. But we've got to feed him. In Job 7:17, it says this. What is man that thou should magnify him, and that thou shouldest even set your heart upon him? And that you should visit him every morning and try him every moment. How often should he try him? Every moment. How long will you not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? He said, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set a mark against thee so that I am a burden to myself? He said he was a preserver of men. Church teaches he's a condemner of men. Something's wrong. See, something's wrong. In Psalm 8:4, it says the same thing, if you want to put these verses down. Job 7:17, Psalm 8, verse 4. Okay. Job 7:17, Psalm 8:4. Psalm 144, verse 3. And Hebrews 2 and 6. Psalm 8:4 says it this way: What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For you have made him lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Imagine some of these things that they say. Psalm 144. I'll go ahead and read that for you. Just take a minute. Psalm 144, verse 3. Lord, what is man that you'll take knowledge of him, or the son of man that they'll make account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of the strange children, whose mouth speaks vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And in Hebrews, you go to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testifying, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of them? Should be them, not him. Or the son of man that thou visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Because in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for all. Imagine that. 8, verse 8. So we show to see the humility through the men of and women of God that he has dealt with through the ages. And they all say basically the same thing, don't they? Because it's the same Christ within them speaking out. Verse 9 goes on to say this: Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given unto your master's son all that pertained to Saul and all his house. You know what? He said, I have given. That's past tense. It's already been restored. We just don't see it. Verse 10, he goes on and says, You, the word therefore shouldn't be there. It's not there for a reason. It's just there. I draw a line through it and cross it out. You and your sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and you shall bring in the fruits of thy master's son, that thy master's son may have, and the word fruit isn't in there. It should say, you shall bring in that thy master's son may have food to eat. Okay? But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. But when he says here that they're going to till the land for Mephibosheth, I see him as a first fruit person, recognizing his weaknesses and his frailties, but he's first fruit. And the first fruit live from God, don't they? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what's going on there. Everyone has a different place to serve. It says he places you in the body where it pleases him, correct? Let me read you a verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 17, verse 2. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Hello? See, there's a verse that tells you just what he said here. Everybody's not going to be sitting at the king's table. Hello? He said all these other people are going to serve the king's sons, isn't he? They still live in his house, but they're going to be servants unto his sons. The ones that are lame and crippled, guess what? He'll restore. But you're going to recognize that you're lame and crippled. You're going to wake. You're going to recognize the futility of humanity. Mephibosheth is, but the rest of them are eating from the land. They're not going to eat the things from the king's table. Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread. So he's still talking about Saul being, which is Adamic, okay? And it said, now Ziba, and Ziba was what? The strength. Had 15 sons and 20 servants, which is a total of what? 35. There's a lot of ways that you can factor this to understand what these numbers mean. He had 15 sons. Now tell me what numbers divide into 15. 5 and 3. A witness of God's grace in his house, in sons. And he had 20 servants. Tell me the numbers that divide there. 5 and 4. And that's a witness of what? It's a complete grace to all of humanity, all the servants. See, the sons are going to be recognized a little differently than the servants. You see that? They're still in the house. What was that? 5 and 3 was for the 15 sons. That is a witness of grace. And then in the 20 sons, it's 5 times 4, which is a witness. It's not a witness, but it's complete grace for all of humanity, for the servants. That covers everybody. And when you do the whole thing, the total number of 35, guess what it divides by? 5 times 7. The grace in perfection. When it's spread to all of humanity, guess what you got? Grace in perfection, the number 7. It's grace. It's God's grace. That's why this thing works. And then Ziba spoke unto the king all that the Lord, to Ziba to the king, according to all the Lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. That's the right thing to say. Because when God says something, there's only one answer. Two words, one answer. Yes and amen. Whatever you want, amen. Yes, I'll do it. It's obedience is better than sacrifice, correct? And then it says, Mephibosheth shall eat at my table, and the word my should be thee. Mephibosheth shall eat at the table, which is, you know, my is in there, but the language says thee. The table, which points to the king's table, right? As one of the king's sons, restored sons. Okay? I can look at that just like in the disciples. There was 11 that was chosen. There was 12 chosen. One of them destroyed himself, hung himself, Judas. And yet there was one that came after. Men tried to put one in there and it didn't work, did it? And then along came Paul. Along came Saul, who was converted to Paul. Okay? By God. He was chosen by God, not by himself. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name or nature and character was Micah. Micah means one who is like God. So he had a son born, a godly son born. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Okay? Which is what? He said, all that dwelt in the house of Ziba, which is strength, were servants unto Mephibosheth. Now, it said, if you dwell in the house of Ziba, in the house of strength, what would that be? Remember in Isaiah, I think it's verse chapter 6, let me turn there. No, it's in Isaiah. Chapter 6, verse 1. I can see it in my head, but I can't quote it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Uzziah represents the same word, strength. If you live in the house of strength, if my lifestyle portrays the fact that I can do everything through me who strengthens me, I am going to be a servant to the house of Mephibosheth, who is humanity. I'm going to be a servant, see, to whoever my master is, that's who I will be enslaved to, correct? I'm going to serve the one that I'm enslaved to. And if I'm enslaved to my own strength, I'm going to have to serve the flesh, correct? Because that's what Mephibosheth really points to, humanity, right? The crippled one. It's going to point to humanity, and when I realize that I'm serving humanity, what's the point? What's the point? It's just a waste of time for me to serve humanity. I need to serve the Christ. True? If I serve humanity, I'm not following God. I can tell you that right now. I'm not saying I can't do things for people. I'm saying if I serve my humanity. You hear me? Or if I serve your humanity, if it's not the God in you I'm serving, then I'm wasting my time. Right? That's what it is. It's a circle of life. If I don't come to life, then I've missed it in this realm, and I'll have to be picked up later. And that's not talking any kind of reincarnation, so we can forget that right now. Was one like God. Yeah, sure. Starts another cycle. So we get into Mephibosheth in the 13th verse. It says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? Well, wait a minute now. There's several meanings for Jerusalem. Huh? Let me write it on the board and see if you can't see it. You look at it. What does the word shalom mean? There you go. Peace. You know why he dwelt in peace? Because he was feasting from the Father's table. If you feast from the Father's table, do you know there were people that hated that boy? You know there's people who would like to have killed that man? Because he was feeding from the Father's table in peace. I have had people curse me. Literally. I mean, call me every foul name in the book. And I look at the person and said, why are you doing this? And they said, because you're at peace and I'm living in hell. That's a God's truth. It's been said to me. That's right. That's right. They didn't see him as the son he was. But what I'm saying is, this man was hated. But where did he live? He lived in peace. And he produced, when he lived in the house of peace, guess what he produced? He produced the Son of God, one who is like God. That's right. And see, he was a godly man to start with. And God, when God restored him and set everything back, guess what? He produced a son from the peace, produced a son who is like God. I think that's pretty amazing. Because he did eat continually from the king's table, and he himself was lame on both his feet. See, the outward man was crippled up. This outward man, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, can it? So guess what? You don't worry about what this flesh and blood is. You worry about feasting from the king's table, which is a spiritual thing. It's not about eating lobsters and steak. It's about eating the Word of God. Jesus said it this way, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Correct? It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but you got to start eating from the king's table if you ever want to attain to peace. So you can produce that Son of God from your life.
You know how you say, like you eat with your ears?
Yep.
Whenever I saw this, when he was talking about sitting at the table continually, now this is the way God works.
Okay.
You sit at the table to feed the Spirit, but all the while you're feeding the Spirit, you're killing the flesh.
Absolutely. Sure you are. You feed the Spirit, the flesh man's dying. The outward man's passing away daily, perishing daily, but the inward man's being renewed. That's the way God works. It's controversial to the natural mind, but you know what? I don't care. I know it's God, and that's all I'm concerned with. I said it for years, if nobody wants to hear what I'm saying, that's okay, because I know me and God's going to have a good time. You know what I mean? If y'all want to join the party, it's fine. There's room for everybody. Right? But you know what? If you don't, you can come in and clean up after the party. Yeah, you can bring the food in and feed us all you want. But we're going to have a party with our Father. And speaking of parties, the 17th, 3 o'clock. 17th this month, 3 o'clock, Saturday afternoon. Okay? We'll be the fish fry, no matter what. We're just hoping that God will give us a nice sunny day for that day. If don't, we're still going to do it. Okay? Okay. Well, that wraps me up for the day. Anybody got anything to...